Today is the 22nd day of March. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian, and it is wonderful to be here with you today as we gather like we do around the global campfire and take the next step forward through the scriptures and through our lives together. And our next step forward, traditionally, actually not even traditionally, like always, leads us to right where we left off yesterday, which will lead us back into the book of Numbers. We should be concluding the book of Numbers and moving forward in tomorrow's reading. And so today will be our last full day in the book of Numbers for this year. Numbers chapter 33, verse 40 through 35, verse 34 today. The king of Arad, the Canaanite king who lived in the south of the land of Canaan, heard about the approach of the Israelites. They traveled from Mount Hor and camped in Zalmona. They traveled from Zalmona and camped in Punon. They traveled from Punon and camped in Obot. They traveled from Obot and camped in Lai-Abarim, on the border of Moab. They traveled from Lim and camped in Dibon-Gad. They traveled from Dibon-Gad and camped in Almon-Dibleathem. They traveled from Almon-Dibleathem and camped in the mountains of Abarim before Nebo. They traveled from the mountains of Abarim and camped in the Rift Valley plains by Moab, along the Jordan River, across from Jericho. They camped by the Jordan from Bet Jeshimot as far as Abel Shittim in the Rift Valley plains of Moab. The Lord spoke to Moses in the Rift Valley plains of Moab along the Jordan, across from Jericho. He said, "Speak to the Israelites and tell them, when you have crossed the Jordan into the land of Canaan, you must drive out all the inhabitants of the land before you. Destroy all their carved images, all their molten images, and demolish their high places. You must dispossess the inhabitants of the land and live in it, for I have given you the land to possess it. You must divide the land by lot for an inheritance among your families. To a larger group, you must give a larger inheritance, and to a smaller group, you must give a smaller inheritance. Everyone's inheritance must be in the place where his lot falls. You must inherit according to your ancestral tribes. But if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land before you, then those whom you allow to remain will be irritants in your eyes and thorns in your side, and will cause you trouble in the land where you will be living. And what I intended to do to them, I will do to you." Then the Lord spoke to Moses, "Give these instructions to the Israelites and tell them, when you enter Canaan, the land that has been assigned to you as an inheritance, the land of Canaan with its borders, your southern border will extend from the wilderness of Zin along the Edomite border, and your southern border will run eastward to the extremity of the Salt Sea. And then the border will turn from the south to the Scorpion Ascent, continue to Zin, and then its direction will be from the south to Kadesh Barnea. Then it will go to Hazar Adar and pass over Asmon. There the border will turn from Asmon to the stream of Egypt, and then its direction is to the sea. And for the western border, you will have the Great Sea. This will be your western border. And this will be your northern border. From the Great Sea, you will draw a line to Mount Hor. From Mount Hor, you will draw a line to Lebo Hamath. And the direction of the border will be to Zedad. The border will continue to Ziphron, and its direction will be to Hazar Enan. This will be your northern border. For your eastern border, you will draw a line from Hazar Enan to Shepham. The border will run down from Shepham to Riblah, on the east side of Ain. and the border will descend and reach the eastern side of the Sea of Kinnereth. Then the border will continue down the Jordan River, and its direction will be to the Salt Sea. This will be your land by its borders that surround it. Then Moses commanded the Israelites, "This is the land that you will inherit by lot, which the Lord has commanded to be given to the 9.5 tribes, because the tribes of the Reubenites by their families, the tribe of the Gadites by their families, and the half-tribe of Manasseh have received their inheritance. The 2.5 tribes have received their inheritance on this side of the Jordan, east of Jericho, toward the sunrise." The Lord said to Moses, "These are the names of the men who are to allocate the land to you as an inheritance: Eleazar the priest and Joshua, son of Nun. You must take one leader from every tribe to assist in allocating the land as an inheritance. These are the names of the men: from the tribe of Judah, Caleb, son of Jephunneh. From the tribe of the Simeonites, Shemuel, son of Ammihud. From the tribe of Benjamin, Eladad, son of Kislon. And from the tribe of the Danites, a leader, Buki, son of Jogli. From the Josephites, Haniel, son of Ephod, a leader from the tribe of Manasseh. From the tribe of the Ephraimites, a leader, Kemuel, son of Shiftan. From the tribe of the Zebulunites, a leader, Elizavan, son of Parnak. From the tribe of the Issacharites, a leader, Paltiel, son of Azan. From the tribe of the Asherites, a leader, Ahihud, son of Shalomi. And from the tribe of the Naphtalites, a leader, Padahel, son of Ammihud. These are the ones whom the Lord commanded to divide up the inheritance among the Israelites in the land of Canaan. Then the Lord spoke to Moses in the Rift Valley plains of Moab along the Jordan near Jericho. He said, "Instruct the Israelites to give the Levites towns to live in from the inheritance the Israelites will possess. You must also give the Levites grazing land around the towns. Thus they will have towns in which to live, and their grazing lands will be for their cattle, for their possessions, and for all their animals. The grazing lands around the towns that you will give to the Levites must extend to a distance of 500 yards from the town wall. You must measure from outside the wall of the town on the east, 1,000 yards, and on the south side, 1,000 yards, and on the west side, 1,000 yards, and on the north side, 1,000 yards, with the town in the middle. This territory must belong to them as grazing land for the towns. Now from these towns that you will give to the Levites, you must select 6 towns of refuge to which a person who has killed someone may flee. And you must give them 42 other towns. So the total of the towns you will give the Levites is 48. You must give these together with their grazing lands. The towns you will give must be from the possession of the Israelites. From the larger tribes you must give more, and from the smaller tribes, fewer. Each must contribute some of its own towns to the Levites in proportion to the inheritance allocated to each." Then the Lord spoke to Moses, "Speak to the Israelites and tell them, when you cross over the Jordan River into the land of Canaan, you must then designate some towns as towns of refuge for you, to which a person who has killed someone unintentionally may flee. And they must stand as your towns of refuge from the avenger in order that the killer may not die until he has stood trial before the community. These towns that you must give shall be your 6 towns for refuge. You must give 3 towns on this side of the Jordan, and you must give 3 towns in the land of Canaan. They must be towns of refuge. These 6 towns will be places of refuge for the Israelites, and for the resident foreigner, and for the settler among them, so that anyone who kills any person accidentally may flee there. But if he hits someone with an iron tool so that he dies, he is a murderer. The murderer must surely be put to death. If he strikes him by throwing a stone large enough that he could die, and he dies, he is a murderer. The murderer must surely be put to death. Or if he strikes him with a wooden hand weapon so that he could die, and he dies, he is a murderer. The murderer must surely be put to death. The avenger of blood himself must kill the murderer. When he meets him, he must kill him. But if he strikes him out of hatred, or throws something at him unintentionally, so that he dies, or with enmity he strikes him with his hand and he dies, the one who struck him must surely be put to death, for he is a murderer. The avenger of blood must kill the murderer when he meets him. But if he strikes him suddenly, without enmity, or throws anything at him unintentionally, or with any stone large enough that a man could die without seeing him, and throws it at him, and he dies, even though he was not his enemy, nor sought his harm, then the community must judge between the slayer and the avenger of blood according to these decisions. The community must deliver the slayer out of the hand of the avenger of blood, and the community must restore him to the town of refuge to which he fled, and he must live there until the death of the high priest, who is anointed with the consecrated oil. But if the slayer at any time goes outside the boundary of the town to which he had fled, and the avenger of blood finds him outside the borders of the town of refuge, and the avenger of blood kills the slayer, he will not be guilty of blood, because the slayer should have stayed in his town of refuge until the death of the high priest. But after the death of the high priest, the slayer may return to the land of his possessions. So these things must be a statutory ordinance for you throughout your generations in all the places where you live. Whoever kills any person, the murderer must be put to death by the testimony of witnesses. But one witness cannot testify against any person to cause him to be put to death. Moreover, you must not accept a ransom for the life of a murderer who is guilty of death. He must surely be put to death. And you must not accept a ransom for anyone who has fled to a town of refuge, to allow him to return home and live on his own land before the death of the high priest. You must not pollute the land where you live, for blood defiles the land, and the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed there, except by the blood of the person who shed it. Therefore, do not defile the land that you will inhabit, in which I live, for I, the Lord, live among the Israelites. Luke 5:12-28. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came to him who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he bowed down with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." So he stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I am willing. Be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Then he ordered the man to tell no one, but commanded him, "Go and show yourself to a priest and bring the offering for your cleansing as Moses commanded, as a testimony to them." But the news about him spread even more, and large crowds were gathering together to hear him and to be healed of their illnesses. Yet Jesus himself frequently withdrew to the wilderness and prayed. Now on one of those days, while he was teaching, there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting nearby, who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with him to heal. Just then, some men showed up carrying a paralyzed man on a stretcher. They were trying to bring him in and place him before Jesus, but since they found no way to carry him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down on the stretcher through the roof tiles right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." Then the experts in the law and the Pharisees began to think to themselves, "Who is this man who is uttering blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" When Jesus perceived their hostile thoughts, he said to them, "Why are you raising objections within yourselves? Which is easier, to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Stand up and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, stand up, take your stretcher, and go home." Immediately he stood up before them, picked up the stretcher he had been lying on, and went home, glorifying God. Then astonishment seized them all, and they glorified God. They were filled with awe, saying, "We have seen incredible things today." After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth. "Follow me," he said to him, and he got up and followed him, leaving everything behind. Psalm 65. For the music director, a psalm of David, a song. Praise awaits you, O God, in Zion. Vows made to you are fulfilled. You hear prayers. All people approach you. Our record of sins overwhelms me, but you forgive our acts of rebellion. How blessed is the one whom you choose and allow to live in your palace courts. May we be satisfied with the good things of your house, your holy palace. You answer our prayers by performing awesome acts of deliverance. O God, our Savior, all the ends of the earth trust in you, as well as those living across the wide seas. You created the mountains by your power and demonstrated your strength. You calmed the raging seas and their roaring waves, as well as the commotion made by the nations. Even those living in the remotest areas are awestruck by your acts. You cause those living in the east and west to praise you. You visit the earth and give it rain. You make it rich and fertile. God's streams are full of water. You provide grain for the people of the earth, for you have prepared the earth in this way. You saturate its furrows and soak its plowed ground. With rain showers, you soften its soil and make its crops grow. You crown the year with your good blessings, and you leave abundance in your wake. The pastures in the wilderness glisten with moisture, and the hills are clothed with joy. The meadows are clothed with sheep, and the valleys are covered with grain. They shout joyfully. Yes, they sing. Proverbs 11:23. The desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. Okay, so we are coming to the close of the Book of Numbers. We will finish Numbers and move into Deuteronomy tomorrow. And so we've been kind of recapping the different places that the Israelites camped throughout their wilderness journey. Further instructions and expectations are being given. We're raising up the next generation, the generation that will go into the promised land. And so there's some recapping and clarifying. So, for example, we learned about manslaughter today and cities of refuge that would be set up for a person who accidentally killed someone so that they would have a place to flee so that they could be protected while things got sorted out. Because in this day and age, if somebody got killed, the next in line, the next kin in line, the Avenger of Blood would go hunt down that person and take their lives. And so we're seeing kind of baked into the culture here a dramatic move forward, which says, yeah, this needs to be sorted out. If a person was killed with malice and forethought and it's premeditated and it was on purpose, then that's one thing, that's murder. But if somebody accidentally injures somebody or they die and they didn't have any animosity, it was a total accident, then that needs to get sorted out. And so the concept of cities of refuge in this new promised land are being established. And then we go into the Gospel of Luke. Jesus is just moving around, doing exactly what he said he was going to do, that he would heal the brokenhearted and set the captives free, according to the fulfillment of prophecy. And so he's doing exactly that while making the religious leaders upset. We got into a situation today where Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. And of course, that didn't work theologically for them. They're like, that's blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins. And so Jesus is like, well, so that I can show you that you're wrong about this. And he says to the man, get up off your mat and walk. And he does. And so all of the people, they can see, like, well, there may be theological differences here, but God is clearly in our midst. We just watched a miracle happen. Meanwhile, the religious leaders, as we know, continue to build animosity toward Jesus. And then we get into the book of Psalms today, and it's such a beautiful psalm that reads like such a prayer that seems appropriate that we just end our time together in the Psalms by not just reading and absorbing what they say, but actually praying what they say. And so I'm praying from Psalms today. Oh, God, our Savior, all the ends of the earth trust in you, as well as those living across the wide seas. You created the mountains by your power and demonstrated your strength. You calmed the raging seas and their roaring waves, as well as the commotion made by the nations. Even those living in the remotest areas are awestruck by your acts. You cause those living in the east and west to praise you. You visit the earth and give it rain. You make it rich and fertile. God's streams are full of water. You provide grain for the people of the earth, for you have prepared the earth in this way. You saturate its furrows and soak its plowed ground. With rain showers, you soften its soil and make its crops grow. You crown the year with your good blessings, and you leave abundance in your wake. Father, we are thankful for these things, for your mighty power, for the way that you sustain the earth and sustain our lives. So often we lose track. We're just so focused on whatever the next problem is that we've got to solve that we lose sight of the fact that you are sustaining us and our lives, that you are aware of us and that you care and that you love us. And we spend our time distracted in our problems. We set those aside and turn our gaze upon you. You are our only hope. We are utterly dependent upon you, and we are safe in the shadow of your wings. Holy Spirit, come, help us to remember what's really going on here. Not the many distractions of any given day, but that you are sustaining the day itself, giving us the opportunity to live. We worship you, we praise you, we adore you, and we humble ourselves before you in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com, that is home base, and that is where you can find out what is happening around here, and so certainly check that out. Check out the community section, stay connected. That's where different links to get connected on social media are, and that is certainly where the prayer wall lives, as we know, and that is always available to us day or night, rain or shine. And that is in the community section, so be familiar with that. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if the mission to bring the spoken word of God read fresh every day and offered freely to anyone who will listen anywhere on this planet, any time of day or night, and to build community around that rhythm, what we call the global campfire, if that is life-giving to you, and thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That's the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Good afternoon, Dabbers. This is Jerry from Wyoming. Pride has held me back over the past 2 days from calling in this prayer request. I called a couple weeks ago about how the Lord impressed upon me to quit alcohol. I felt so wonderful about this decision. On Thursday the 16th, I was painting a room in my house and working the better part of the day. I had to go downstairs to get some paint supplies and ran across a couple of beers. I decided I was tired and felt I deserved the refreshment. About an hour later, my friend called me to meet him so that he could get more paint for me. I was to deliver him the old bucket so that he could get the right color. I proceeded to meet him about 3 miles down the road. I gave him the bucket, turned around, and started driving home. As far as I could tell, my front wheel got caught in a snowbank. I tried to correct and pull it out of the snowbank, only to do a 180 and a slight rollover. EMS came and I was okay. The police came and had me do all the testing for a DUI. They determined I was under the influence. I spent the night in jail with possible 90-day license suspension, with incredible fines and a possible totaled car. I'm 65. My job requires that I travel in a 150-mile radius. I'm desperate. I just need the Lord's to step in and help me on this whole thing. I'm so stupid for my choice, and I was doing so well, but now look what I did. Oh, I just ask for anyone to just lift, everyone to lift up this prayer that none of these things would go in the way they're going, and just ask for grace and mercy. I love you all very much. Thank you for your prayers.
My prayer goes out to Eve's son, her 17-year-old. She says he's hearing demonic voices telling him to do mean things. That is not of God. That is definitely the enemy. The enemy is trying to attack. attack your son, and I rebuke that enemy. Rebuke, rebuke, rebuke. Get out of that boy's mind. Leave his body alone. He's the son of a woman who is in Jesus' hands. Let him be in Jesus' hands. Jesus does not want you. He casts you out. Please, Lord, look after this boy. Don't let him become a victim. Let him rise. Let him see your light, your hope, your truth. Father, I ask this in your son's holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen. This is Jersey Jane for Jesus, praying for your son, Eve. God bless.
Good morning. This is John Ransom calling from Budapest. This morning, I'd like to pray for Great Britain, for the United Kingdom, and for the church there. Lord, many prophetic voices have been saying that a wonderful revival is also poised to hit the shores of the British Isles. And with that amazing move of your spirit will come opposition from the enemy. So I'd like to just have all who live in the UK, all who love the UK, all who are grateful for what the UK has brought us all, that we would pray now for Great Britain and for the British people. Lord, I pray that most of all that you would prepare the hearts of the people of that nation for an unprecedented move of your spirit. I pray that you would open their hearts and that they would see Jesus, that they would embrace him, that they would fall to their knees, that they would confess their sins, and that they would be born again by the hundreds, the thousands, and the millions. And Lord, we also ask for your blood to be over the nation and the nations within Great Britain, and that you would protect the people from any schemes of the enemy that might come up against this move of your spirit. And we pray that you would give discernment to government officials, discernment to leaders in the church, and that any plans to move against your move and against the salvation of so many people at this critical time would be completely thwarted, that they would be completely revealed and avoided. And we ask all of this in the name of Jesus. And we ask you to bless Great Britain. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Hey, family, this is Melissa from Albertville, Alabama. I have an urgent prayer request. I've called before about my nephew, Elijah. He has alopecia, and he's been bullied his whole life, and he left home. He said he didn't want anything to do with God, and he's in California. He's saying the Illuminati is after him, and they're telling him to kill himself. And all we know to do is pray. So I'm asking my family to pray for Elijah Ingram. He is somewhere in Los Angeles. We don't even know where he is, but we just know that. So please keep my family lifted up in prayer. I love you all. I pray for y'all. Y'all have a blessed day. Bye-bye.